It's been good to be here tonight. We appreciate another service. I think I heard the young brother announce that we set our clocks back tonight. So really, it's only 7, and I got a couple hours up here then, right? You know, I appreciate it when you do your best to deliver something that the Lord has laid upon your heart, and you see it in action. And today, I saw a whole lot of smiles from people. I thought that was all right. And I won't tell you who, but I had the privilege to go to breakfast with some young brethren today. They treated me to a nice breakfast. We had a good time of fellowship. And one of the young brothers was complaining about a little something. And I said, "Now come on." But he said, "Hold on. At least I'm smiling." So I said, "You're right. Complain away." Well, he listened, right? We appreciate it very much. You know, the hospitality and the fellowship of the congregation here is awesome. I appreciate it so very much. It's awesome to be so welcomed among people. It really, really is. The love of Christ lends itself to a wonderful bond between the saints of God. It's common. It's something that we share. It's something that we understand that people out in the world don't have. And it unites us all one to another. And we need to do our best to always kindle that love in a very, very wonderful way. I hope that the revival so far has been a help to you. I know for me, I've had some very, very precious moments. Right here in the sanctuary with you all, in the room over there by myself, alone, God's been with me in a wonderful way. And I appreciate it. You know, when we can spend much time in meditation and in prayer, divorced completely from the affairs of this life, God can speak to us in a wonderful way. Over the course of the last two messages, I pray that you have listened and understood that you are a valuable treasure, that your salvation is a miracle, and that you should enjoy it and live your life accordingly. I know God has shown me that I need to do a better job of that. And as I've spent a lot of time over there in that room by myself, quiet, God spoke to me. And I want to try to give you something tonight that God spoke to me very seriously about. He told me I needed to measure up. I need to do a little better. And I want to share it with you tonight, and I pray that you listen. Lend me your mind. I won't keep you here a long time. But give me real good attention, and we'll get through this. You know, living for Jesus is a real privilege. If we had a title for the message tonight, it would be this: Living for Jesus, Worth Giving It Your All. Living for Jesus is worth giving it your all. It's a great honor to be able to call yourself a child of God. The saints of God are an elect group of people that are truly blessed among all people in the world. And I would say that the church of God is made up of the finest people on earth. To be counted as one of God's own is simply put, as my pastor so often says, awesome. You might say, "Brother Chris, you use that word a lot." Well, my pastor does. And so I guess it's just ingrained. But I don't use it lightly. I don't use it as slang. Something's awesome. It's amazing. It's huge. It is something to behold, right? And I tell you tonight, to be counted as one of God's own is awesome. You are God's. I am God's. That's an amazing thought tonight. You are one of God's own. And as such, we ought to yield ourselves and our bodies to Him and never to sin. Let's pick up a scripture here tonight as we get into the message. If you have your Bibles, take it and open to Romans, the 6th chapter. We'll just read one verse there in Romans, chapter 6. That will be verse 13. Romans chapter 6, verse 13. Now remember, you're God's, and as such, we ought to yield ourselves, our bodies, our mind, ourselves completely unto Him, to Him alone. And we ought never yield to the devil and to sin. Romans 6 and 13 says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. You're God's tonight. You're not your own. If you're saved, if you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you belong to Him. I sang that song, now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me, not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Think of that. What a thought. I'll be God's forever, and I can claim Him as my own if I stay faithful. We need to know that we cannot yield our mind, our heart, or our members unto unrighteousness and unto sin. We must yield ourselves completely and unreservedly to God. Our hearts, our lives, our souls must be yielded unto Him. And our members, our hands, our feet, our mouths, our minds, our bodies, yielded unto Him as instruments of His righteousness. What does that mean? We ought to work for God. God's given you a good portion of health, the right use of your mind and that body. You ought to use it to further His kingdom. After all, you're His. He ought to be able to tell you what to do with what He's given you. To be counted as God's tonight is awesome. You know, many people today want to be called part of something. They want to be something special out in the world. They want to be part of something special out in the world. And people today spend much time and effort to be part of something that they think is special. Some desire to be part of a prestigious college with study, right? Nothing wrong with that. But they'll put their all into their schoolwork, into their community service, because they want to get to that prestigious college. They put forth great effort. Some want to be part of a select team. They go home and they work on that jump shot. They get into a batting cage and they hit the baseball over and over and over. They'll do the extra lap after practice. They'll put forth all kinds of effort to make that A team or that traveling team or whatever it is. That select group, there's only going to be 12 and there's 40 of us trying out. They'll do everything they can to be part of that select team. You see, wealthy businessmen give up time, money, and effort to join a prestigious and an elite country club. Back home, there's a place called Waverly. There's a waiting list to be on there, and the only way you get in is when a current member dies. Then the next person on the waiting list has to be voted on by a board, and you have to pay $75,000 just to join that club. They spend all kinds of time. They will wait and wait and wait for that opportunity, sometimes hoping that someone will pass on so they get their chance. It's that important to them. They want to be part of something that they think is elite and special and amazing. People give their all to be part of something they consider to be great. Well, tonight, if you are saved, you are part of something far greater, more prestigious, and certainly more elite than any other organization on earth, the Church of God. I say tonight, if you're really saved, you are more important, more prestigious, you are greater, more elite than any club that man has, any team that might be, anything that college could give you, all those special things that the world hangs up all glory and honor on. Tonight, if you're saved, you're part of the Church of God. And that's a group that's far more special
than anything else on the face of this planet. It was set up by God. It was purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ. And it has been exactly the same ever since its institution. You name another organization that's like that. Church of God isn't different today than it was back then. The real Church of God's the same. You remember when you're saved? It requires you to be holy. And it requires your best. And it requires your all. It did then. It did of Christ. It does now. It does of you. And it does of I. Without a doubt, living for Jesus is worth giving it our all. I believe that Christ desires, expects, and deserves a wholehearted service. I believe that Christ tonight desires, expects, and deserves a wholehearted service. If you have your Bible, let's turn over to 1 Timothy. And in 1 Timothy, in the 4th chapter, we're going to read the 12th through the 16th verses. 1 Timothy 4, 12 through 16. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. What a beautiful, beautiful, encouraging word. Neglect not the gift that is in thee. Don't neglect the gift that's in you. Don't neglect the gift of salvation. Think of what it cost. Think of what a miracle it is. Think of what it's done for you tonight. Don't neglect that gift. Cherish it. Give it some attention now and then. Let it prosper and grow. And meditate upon these things, it says. Give thyself wholly. Wholly. Give thyself wholly to them. In other words, give it your all, right? Wholehearted service is what God wants. Wholehearted service is what He deserves. And I'm going to tell you tonight, wholehearted service is what He expects. He doesn't deserve anything less than your very best. He wants you to be wholly committed unto Him. You know I like to look the definitions of things up. Wholehearted is described as this: enthusiastic. Let me say that again. Enthusiastic. Characterized by unreserved enthusiasm, passion, or commitment. Wholehearted service must be service that has unreserved enthusiasm, great passion, and commitment. And it says here in 1 Timothy that we should meditate upon these things and give thyself wholly to them. Holy means completely and entirely. Completely and entirely. Totally and in every way, or to the fullest extent of. Give yourself wholly unto the things of God tonight. It also means solely or exclusively. Solely and to the exclusion of other things. Think about that tonight. If we're to give ourselves unto the wonderful things of salvation, the benefits of salvation, the wonder and the miracle that's your salvation, you must do it solely and exclusively. to the exclusion of all other things. That sounds like we have a lot of living to do for God. If he expects and deserves wholehearted service, if God requires that we wholly give ourselves unto Him, that tells me we have got to give it our all. You can't give half-hearted service and expect to be blessed of God. You can't hold back this for yourself and this for someone else and then give God a little bit. You have to exclude everything else and give yourself completely and unreservedly to Him. That's fair, isn't it? What did Christ do for you? He gave Himself completely, unreservedly, and even His life He gave for you. Yet too many times, people don't know what it means to have wholehearted service. And that's sad. When you give yourself wholly to God, you give Him your all. As the beautiful song, Consecration, states, I think if you have the Evening Light hymnal, I believe it's on page 245, it says, "My life, O Lord, I give to Thee, my talents, time, and what? My all. My life, O Lord, I give to Thee, my talents, my time, and all." That's beautiful. That's beautiful. And I think that's a good way for each and every one of us to endeavor to live. We need to be sure that we are doing our very best to be all we possibly can be for Jesus every day. Didn't we read last night to you the phrase of that man that said, "Be your best every time with every customer, no exceptions"? Let me use that and say, be your best for Jesus Christ every time, every day, in every way. No exceptions. No exceptions. That means even though you may not be feeling the best, you still give God your best. Maybe you're downhearted. It happens to us all. It happened to Christ. Christ experienced everything that you and I experience. He was tempted in all ways, right? He was tempted to be depressed. He was tempted to have bad attitudes. He was tempted to get bitter. In all ways, He was tempted. Yet I don't ever read about Him having a bad attitude or a bad day or not giving His best. So why do we want to make excuses for ourselves? Well, you don't understand, Brother Chris, what I'm going through. No, but Jesus does. I'm going to tell you, you don't understand what I'm going through. I don't need you to. I know Christ does. And if Jesus Christ understands what I'm going through and how I feel, then He has an answer for my problem. And I'm going to tell you something tonight. Getting an answer from Christ is better than getting an answer from anyone else, anywhere else. He knows how to get me through my problems. He knows how to get me on to victory. And I'll tell you something. I appreciate that tonight. I don't take it lightly. I know He experienced those things. I know He went through everything in life so He could help me go through my problems. And He could help you go through yours. You cannot fully serve God when you reserve room in your heart for your own desires and needs. Let me say that again. You cannot fully or wholly serve God when you reserve room down in that little old heart of yours for your own desires and your own needs. What did we talk about last night? Enjoying salvation. And I'm convinced that many of you really know what it means to enjoy salvation. And if you do, if you truly enjoy living for Christ, and then you enjoy that salvation, what God wants for you in your life will be what you want as well. So you don't need room for your own desires. You don't need room for everything you want down in your heart. If you truly enjoy living for God, what He wants is what you want. You're on the same page, to use a modern expression, right? What God wants in your life is exactly what you desire. What you want, what you crave, are all the things that God wants for you. Amen. And as a Christian, I want to say again, you are not your own. You and I have a much higher calling than just ourselves. A much higher calling. God should be able and wants to be able to use you in His service, and that service should come first. He wants to use you tonight. He wants to be able to call on you tonight. And God's service should come first. It must come first in our lives before everything else. Think of that old song tonight. Jesus, if you're not Lord of everything, then you're not Lord at all. That's a dangerous place to be in. I say that's a very dangerous place to be in. If you're not Lord of everything, that word everything is all encompassing. We're not leaving anything out. We're saying everything in your life. If Christ is not Lord of everything, then you're not letting Him and allowing Him to be Lord at all. I wonder, is it easy for you to give God your all tonight? Think about it. Just think with me. Now remember, what did I tell you at the beginning of this message? As I sat over there in that room, God really started talking to me among these lines. To me, is it easy for me to give God everything, to give Him my all? Or just maybe, sometimes, is it a bit of a burden to do the Lord's will? When I'm called on, when you're called on, to give someone a ride, to go out of your way. Maybe your day was all planned out. Maybe it's a day just like today. It was an absolutely beautiful day. I must have said to Brother Brandon as we drove along to breakfast 100 times, what a gorgeous day. Maybe it's a day just like today, and you have it filled with things that you want to do. And a brother or a sister calls. Maybe that brother or sister calls the pastor and says, "Pastor, I have a need." And the pastor's busy studying for the message tomorrow. So he calls you and asks you to come and help. How do you take that when all of a sudden everything that you had planned gets thrown out the window and you're getting called on to do God's business? Is that easy for you tonight? Or is it just maybe a little bit of a burden? Remember, this is what God was speaking to me about. Does Christ receive your best effort in all things? Or do you give Him what you have left over after you have given your best effort to yourself? Remember, we're called to something much higher than ourselves. But it's really hard to get off the man, right? We walk around in a fleshly body, and this fleshly body has needs. We get hungry. Sometimes we're sick. We have needs. We're in the flesh. Should we be of it? I think not. We should not be of this flesh. But too many times, we're thinking about what I want, what I need, where I'd like to go. And we put forth great effort to achieve those things, to accomplish those goals that are all about the outward man. And then, after we've given those things our very best, we'll give Christ the leftovers. Is that the kind of service that Christ deserves tonight? Or does he deserve our best effort? First and foremost, and then, when we've satisfied the needs of the church, the needs of a brother or a sister, the needs of God himself, or the needs that God would like to have fulfilled here on earth himself, do we then maybe give ourselves the attention? I'd say too many people have it, me first, Christ second. And what'd that song say? If you're not Lord of everything, then you're not Lord at all. To give it your all, to unreservedly give your all to something is to give your best, your first, and your most to that cause. Your first fruits. If you really want something, you will do whatever it takes to get it. A lot of people live that way. We live in a day where people give their all to many things. I talked about a few at the beginning, right? Being part of a team, a country club, a prestigious school. They'll give their all for these things. They'll do anything. Politicians, they have a desire to be important. And many times they'll be sneaky, they'll be underhanded. They'll do anything it takes to get elected. You read about it, right? People give their all to attain something. Sadly, the service of God is always last. It's always about me. It's always about what I want. And in the time of life when you're young, if you're not careful, young people, you'll put off giving God your wholehearted service. Being young is okay. Let no man despise thy youth. We read it tonight. When you're young, you're full of ardor and vigor. You have a lot of energy. And God wants young people that truly believe that serving him wholeheartedly is the best thing to do and that will put that belief into action. That's what God wants from you in your youth. He wants your service, your wholehearted service. But yet too many times, young people think, I can give my wholehearted service later. I'm young. I want to have fun. I want to do what I want to do. But I'm going to tell you, the more wholehearted your service is to God in your youth, the easier it will be to give wholehearted service throughout your entire life. You know, we look at people and the effort they put forth and the things that they do to be part of something special in some kind of a service, one kind or another. We look at that and I wonder if the effort put forth by those people in the world for worldly pursuits exceeds our effort for an eternal reward. Did you catch that? I wonder if the things that people are doing, the effort they're putting forth for a worldly pursuit, a temporal endeavor, I wonder if held up to our efforts in serving God, if it would outweigh our effort in serving Christ. It's a fair question. There's a lot of people out there that give a lot to accomplish something. Michael Phelps is considered by many the greatest Olympic athlete to have ever lived. Now, I want to say, as I go on, I would not consider Michael Phelps anything close to a role model at all. But I want to use the example of his dedication to what he wanted to prove a point. I'm not building up Michael Phelps. In fact, I would say he needs the Lord. But I want to talk to you tonight about some things that he did in order to accomplish a goal. It's not about him, but just lend me your mind as we talk about him a little bit here. And keep it in its correct perspective, please. Many consider him to be the greatest Olympic athlete in history. He has won an unprecedented 16 total medals in his Olympic career. 16. The only person who's ever won more was a Russian gymnast who has 18. He has dedicated his life to swimming in order to become the very best. While training for the 2008 Olympics in Beijing, he consumed an astonishing 12,000 calories a day. The average grown man needs about 2,000 calories a day. He ate six times the amount of what a normal grown man needs to survive, and he did it every day. He would train 6 days a week, 6 to 8 hours a day, logging in more than 50 miles per week in the pool. Think about that. 6 days a week, 6 to 8 hours a day, 50 miles a week in the pool. There was a lot of effort being put forth here. He would eat, swim, and sleep. He would eat, swim, and sleep. That's what he did. Training took precedence over friends, family, holidays, and social activities. If Christmas fell on a training day, it wasn't opening presents and eating a turkey dinner with the family. It was at the pool first. It took precedence in his life. Training came first, and he gave every day of his training his all. I remember reading he would treat every day of training as if it were the most important day of training he ever had. He didn't want to miss out on one single opportunity to get better at his endeavor. It came first, it required his best, and he gave it his all. The results spoke for themselves, with a record 8 gold medals in a single Olympic Games. He did all of this for his greatest love and passion in life, swimming. Think about what he did to be a good swimmer. Think about the time he spent to be a good swimmer. Think about the effort, the pain, the lack of friends, the missing out of social activities. He did all of that to be a good swimmer? Put that in its correct perspective tonight, saints. Swimming, being in the water and going back and forth, he did it 50 miles a week because he loved it so much. Because he had a desire in his heart to be the best. He said, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to give it my all. And he did, and what were the results? He's the best that's ever lived. As a child of God, our greatest love and passion in life better not be swimming. It better not be your job. Better not be your husband, your wife, your boyfriend, your girlfriend. Better not be your children. Better not be your hobby. Better not be looking towards retirement. Better not be music. Better not be anything save Christ and the service of God and the great church of God. If we're a child of God, that must be our greatest love and our greatest passion in life. Think about your love and your passion for the church of God tonight, for your salvation. How does your effort in serving God compare with that of a man who simply loves to swim? You swim a long way, you're not getting to heaven. You can be the most famous athlete ever. The greatest Olympic athlete in history. What good does that really do you? When I went to look up some of these facts today about Michael Phelps, I used Google. And you all that use Google know that when you begin to type something, it will try to think about what you're asking, right? I got Michael typed in there, and the first 10 entries, Phelps was nowhere to be found. I hit the space bar, I hit P. A lot of Michael P's came up, but Michael Phelps wasn't even there. There was a time when, no doubt, you typed Mike, and he would come up. 2008, after the Olympic Games, no one could talk about anything else. Now, today, November of 2010, 2 short years later, and he's not even in the top of the list. A lot of good all those laps in the pool did him. I'm sure he accomplished what he wanted, and in himself he's happy, but what did it really mean? I wonder tonight. I really wonder. How does our effort in serving God compare with that of a man who simply loves to swim and chose to give swimming his all? Now, I know we live in a world where we must work and we have numerous responsibilities. I understand that. I have 4 children. I have 4 young children. My wife stays at home. She doesn't work. I know what it's like to have responsibilities. The Bible tells us in 2 Thessalonians 3 and 10, if any would not work, what? Neither should he eat. We have to work. I understand that we have to spend time. We can't, as Michael Phelps did, just 8 hours a day look into the Word of God, right? We can't put everything else aside and simply read the Word of God and spend time in prayer. Yet, in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 and 17, what's the Bible say there? Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. Well, if we can pray without ceasing, the Bible tells us we should do it. It's a statement. Pray without ceasing. That wouldn't be in there if it was not possible. So we can go about our daily activities. We can go to work. We can run the kids around. We can even do some of the very mundane tasks of life and still give God our best as well as our all. You can give God your best every single day. Amen. There is no reason whatsoever. You try to think of one, and you come find me after service, and I'll tell you if it's a good reason or not. But I'm here to tell you tonight, there's not a good reason that you cannot give God your best every day. You can do it. You can do it. You can give God your all. Do you want to? Do you want to? That is something different. Think about it. You've had good days with God, haven't you? You've had times where it felt like you were on top of the world, where you could do anything, that you knew beyond any shadow of a doubt, God was looking down on you and smiling. You've had those days. Why can't you have that day every day? If you did it once, you could do it again. I would say this, on that really great day, you wanted to give God your all. That was a day that you put your all into the service of an almighty God. And he rewarded you accordingly. It's not a matter of can or can't. It's a matter of what is it that you really want out of life and in this life. Amen. That's what it boils down to. Pray without ceasing. At work. At school. At home. In everything, give thanks to God. In everything you do, have an attitude of prayer, constantly asking God, is this the right move? Should I be here? Should I go there? You can always be about your business with the mind of God about you.
Amen.
But do you want to? If you enjoy serving God, you should. God wants wholehearted service. If we're not going around like that, why is it? Let's think about it for a minute tonight. Why would you not give wholehearted service? Why would you not give your all? Maybe because there are things in our lives that we get more enjoyment out of. That, my friends, tonight is dangerous. And I don't care who you are tonight. If you're not careful, it can happen to you. I've told you many, many times, I love children. I want to say tonight, those little children sang, it was absolutely awesome. And on a side note, I'd never heard that song before about I Want to Be a Sheep. We don't do that one back home. But I'd sure appreciate it if someone give me the words, because I'd like to have our kids sing that. You know, some people think that sheep are dumb animals. I've heard that. In fact, I know a little about sheep. I used to raise a sheep for 4-H when I was a little boy. We had sheep on a farm that I lived on. They were our lawnmowers. They kept the fields down. Some people may think that sheep are dumb, and they may tell you that, but I'll tell you this about a sheep. A sheep knows its shepherd's voice. And if that's the case, you can call me dumb all you want. I want to be a sheep. I know my Savior's voice. I know my Savior's voice. And He's been speaking to me this week. I don't want anything in my life to bring me more joy than serving God. I love children. I love my children so much. I would work till I couldn't lift a finger to help support them. I would do anything I could for them. I love my companion. I enjoy spending time with my family. I love coaching kids. I love it when a little boy who doesn't believe in himself does something that he never thought he could and turns around, throws those little arms up in the air and jumps around. I tell you, it makes me feel wonderful. I love it. But I have to be careful that I don't find more joy in those things than I do in serving God. Those are fun things. They're enjoyable things. Those are things I like to do. But if I go around and I'm constantly thinking about what I'm going to do at practice for these little boys, or if I go around constantly thinking about what I can get my son or my daughter to make them smile, or where I could take them, and those are the things that start to consume my thoughts, instead of a blessing and instead of a joy, they'll become a hindrance and they could become the damnation of my soul. These are things that God has been dealing with me about over in that room all by myself. I know my Savior's voice. I know when my shepherd calls. And I want to be ready and willing to move when He says measure up. We saints have got to give God our all. Living for Jesus is worth giving it your all tonight. It is worth giving more effort to, more of your time to, more of the first fruits of everything you have to, more of your effort and everything you have. It is worth more than anything else on earth. The cause of Christ is the most important thing in your life. Why is that? Because it's the only cause that will get you to heaven. I don't care how good of a guy you are. I don't care how great of a student you are, how rich you are, how wonderful you are at your job, what a great dad you are, how good you can sing, how fast you are. I don't care about any of those things. They won't get you to heaven. They won't get you anywhere close. But yet some people spend all their time and effort and thought upon those things. And when they do, God is not pleased. We have to give God our all. I requested both of those songs that were sang tonight. First, by the youth choir, Broken and Spilled Out. And then secondly, by Brother Nick and that other young man who has such an awesome voice, What If I Gave All, to go along with this message. I wonder tonight what your life, I wonder tonight what my life could truly be if we allowed to be broken and spilled out and used up completely for Jesus. I wonder how the gift of us giving our all would truly change the world. That's what both of those songs asked and said. I love that song. What if I gave all? Ask yourself that tonight. Think of it in your mind, rather, but ask God, what if I gave all? God, what would that gift do? I think it's penned beautifully in that song. My son, a gift like that can change the world. A gift like that could change the world. A gift like you could change the world. It could free the multitudes. All of us here tonight, young people, children, and older ones as well, ought to really think about what we could do if we truly gave all to God. It is not too lofty a thought or too noble an idea. It's a command. Jesus is to be our supreme example. And He did give all. He gave His time, His love, His mercy, and ultimately, His life. And Him giving His all has given you life, love, and peace. I wonder tonight if many among us have found that they are giving to God what is quick, what is easy, and convenient. Sometimes we become very at ease in this life, don't we? Very at ease in this life. And there is a danger, a real danger tonight, to all of us at becoming at ease in Zion. And we must not. We must remember that every day God deserves our best. In everything, He deserves our uttermost. And He always deserves and requires our all. I want you to think about your life tonight. Your life. Think about it tonight. As we bring the service to a close, is there a place in your life where you see yourself before you see God? Or if you have more room in your heart for an earthly pursuit or endeavor than that of God's service? Ask yourself that question tonight. Ask God to help you if the answer to either one of those is yes. Ask God to help you. Amen. Give more of yourself to His service, to be completely broken, spilled out, and used up for Him. D.L. Moody made the following statement near the end of his life. It remains to be seen what can be done with a life that is fully committed to Christ. I wonder tonight who would take that statement, whether you're young or old, saved or unsaved. I wonder who would really and truly consider it. I wonder who would come and tell God that you will do your best, give Him your all, and more fully commit yourself to Christ. That would be a life worth living. A life that can make a difference, and a life that no doubt will truly please God. Young people, He wants all of you. He wants your best all the time.